Femi Okay. You're watching the stream. On today's episode, ethics and asylum seekers. Is the UK's new plan to send asylum seekers to Rwanda to have their applications processed? Is that ethical? That is our conversation. You are part of that conversation, especially if you're on YouTube. Your comments, your questions, put them right there, and I'll wrap them into today's show.
The new scheme has to be given a chance and see what will come out from that. And the fact that my home country is part of it, I can be more, optimistic, because Rwanda has been found to be very effective in finding a solution to very challenging issues. So let's give a chance and see what happens.
So that's Eric's take. Eric now lives in the UK. He was granted asylum from Rwanda in the 1990s. That's part of the conversation. He's like, let's wait and see. What does the panel have to say about that? Hello, Emily, Moya and Frank. So good to have all three of you here in today's show. Emily, please introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
Thank you so much, Femi. It is absolutely great to be here with you. My name is Dr. Emily McDonnell, and I am the UK Advocacy and Communications Coordinator at Human Rights Watch.
Hello, Moya. Please introduce yourself to our global audience.
Hello, thank you for having me. My name is Moya Lothian McLean, and I'm a journalist and contributing editor at Navara Media.
And good to have you, Frank, on the stream today. Please introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, what you do.
Hello, thank you very much for hosting me. I'm Dr. Frank Habineza. I'm the president of the Democratic Union Party of Rwanda, an opposition party. I'm also a member of parliament. Thank you.
All right, guests, let's start with the UK Home Secretary, Priti Patel, explaining what this partnership with Rwanda actually means. Here she is.
Working together, the United Kingdom and Rwanda will help make the immigration system fairer, ensure that people are safe and enjoy new opportunities to flourish. We have agreed that people who entered the UK illegally will be considered for relocation to Rwanda to have their asylum claims decided. And those who are resettled will be given the support, including up to 5 years of training with the help of integration, accommodation, healthcare, so that they can resettle and thrive. This agreement fully complies with all international and national law.
So, Moya, that is how the UK Home Secretary describes this plan. How would you describe it?
Well, to be frank, I would say it's a dereliction of responsibility. This plan, in essence, is that people who arrive via what the UK calls illegal means, which is completely inaccurate. There's no such thing as an illegal route for asylum seekers. So say across the English Channel in small boats, people who arrive via that manner will, instead of being processed and having their claims appraised and resettled in the UK, will be taken to Rwanda, where their claims will be processed. If those claims are found to be, if those claims are approved, they will not be resettled in the UK. They will be resettled in Rwanda. If they are not approved, well, that bit hasn't really been covered yet.
If they're not approved, they still get to stay in Rwanda, which is really bizarre. Frank, let me show you something. The Home Office put out a blog to explain what their plan was. And on that plan was a graphic. So let me show you this graphic. So if they decide, this little pink blob here, if they decide that your asylum cannot be processed in the UK, they decided that you shouldn't be in the UK, they are going to remove you and then send you to a third country. That third country is Rwanda. What do you make of being part now of the UK's asylum process system? Rwanda is now part of the system.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that this is really unethical. And I think that we as a party, we would welcome refugees who want to come to Rwanda directly. If they choose Rwanda, to come to Rwanda as their first destination, we welcome them, and we have welcomed so many of them from Congo, from Burundi, and elsewhere. But those who never chose to come to Rwanda and have chosen to go to the UK, it's really not our responsibility. It's UK's responsibility. They should take care of them, because all of us have signed the UN Convention to receive refugees. So we don't think that it's really ethical for Rwanda to receive refugees who did not choose to come to Rwanda. Really, have these people asked that they want to come to Rwanda? Do they really want to come to Rwanda? They don't want to. They chose to go to the UK. And you have to remember, most of these people have passed through difficult situations, have gone through the Sahara Desert, others have passed through the Mediterranean. Some of them have died on the way. Most of them, actually, you have seen children, women suffering. So after all that suffering, then you decide to ship them away to a third country, Rwanda, and which is smaller country, and which is also a developing country. UK is richer. UK is bigger. It doesn't make any sense.
I can tell you weren't at the planning meeting a couple of years ago when they were coming up with this plan between Rwanda and the UK. Emily, let me bring you in here. What is the duty of the UK when somebody arrives in the UK? What is their duty if they are saying, we are asylum seekers, we are seeking asylum? What should the UK be doing with those people?
Thank you, Femi. The UK has an obligation to ensure access to its territory for people seeking asylum and access to an asylum procedure with due process. Expelling asylum seekers who arrive by boat or by lorry irregularly and expelling them to Rwanda is just shirking its responsibilities under the Refugee Convention, under international law, and it really needs to be ensuring that it is opening its borders, not closing them, to individuals that are seeking protection.
I'm going to bring in the voice of journalist and writer Michaela Wrong. She has decided that the announcement of this new asylum seeking process in the UK is connected to politics. You may not agree here, Moya, but have a listen and then bounce off the bat with your thoughts. Here's Michaela.
This strikes me as a really cynical deal, and I imagine it's been prompted by the fear that the Conservatives are not going to do that well in the May 5 elections. And so being seen to be tough on immigration is always a good card to play. It's possibly not a legal agreement. It's certainly not a moral one. And that's prompted for me by the awareness that Rwanda is really the worst place you could choose to do this. It's not just a densely populated, really poor African country that has a refugee problem of its own. It's also a place where the government has a terrible track record on repression in terms of the way it deals with human rights activists, journalists, and opposition leaders who are relentlessly tracked, silenced, and jailed. This is not a good place to choose.
Michaela, may well think that this is politically expedient. But Moya, you know that this plan has been going on for several years. It's not just been cooked up right now. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, of course. And I'm sure that Emily can come in on this as well. So this plan to process and resettle asylum seekers away from Britain has been in the works for several years. I think it's at least 3 years that sort of discussions have been going on specifically for a plan of this nature. Priti Patel has been casting around for a country that would agree to a deal. At first, it was said Albania were going to be the country where the resettling refugees would take place. Then it was Ghana, both flatly denied this was happening. In fact, Priti Patel was so nervous that the deal with Rwanda would be blown by public reporting before it happened that she kept referring to it as Country X in Home Office briefings until the signatures and the dotted line had actually been scribbled. So I get why people want to say, you know, this is just a distraction. This is, this is just to kind of boost the immigration fear in the UK. And it's not necessarily that that isn't true in some regards, but I don't think that is the priority here for the Conservatives, because the current government are pursuing a much wider plank of policy aimed at making what is already a hostile environment for asylum seekers, particularly, into a completely impenetrable one. This policy cannot be seen as removed from Priti Patel's National Anti Borders Bill, which again targets asylum seekers. It also cannot be seen as existing in a vacuum from the attempt to overturn the Human Rights Act and replace it with a Bill of Rights. Both these pieces of proposed legislation, when you dig into them, really target asylum seekers in particular out of all possible migrants. There are attempts to sort of make it more difficult for, say, somebody who's at the risk of deportation from pleading the case that they can't be separated from their family. There's a lot of, since the Windrush scandal in particular, what we've seen the Conservative government do is, rather than sort of compensate the people involved and make the asylum system more hospitable and actually create infrastructure that can support asylum seekers, instead they've gone the other way, which is to publicly say this can never happen again, while attempting to completely sort of remove the issue of asylum seekers full stop by shipping them elsewhere.
All right, Moya, and I'm just going to just interject here. The Windrush scandal was when youngsters who had come to the UK from the Caribbean when they were maybe 3, 4, 5, they missed the message. They missed the message that you need to get your paperwork. They didn't get their paperwork. And as grown adults who maybe had served in the British Army, had homes and families, were then sent to a country and to countries that they had no knowledge of, and they lived all their life believing that they were UK citizens. So that gives you an idea of how the current government thinks about people who they say do not belong in the UK. I want to push on a little bit. Emily, help me out here. This is the Rwanda spokeswoman, Yolande Mokolo. She's talking about the benefits of processing asylum seekers, offering them a home and opportunities in Rwanda. Is this genuine? Let's have a listen and then please respond off the back of her video.
Rwanda is a safe and welcoming country. We're an inclusive country. We do not discriminate against anybody. This is enshrined in our constitution. We also have significant experience in welcoming refugees and migrants to our communities. And this partnership allows us to do even more of that and do it even better.
Yeah, watching that, I think that from what Human Rights Watch has documented, Rwanda is not a safe country to send asylum seekers to. It has a known track record of extrajudicial killings, unlawful and arbitrary detention, ill-treatment and torture in official and unofficial detention facilities. And, you know, just last year, the UK government denounced Rwanda's appalling human rights record before the United Nations, urging Rwanda to model Commonwealth values of democracy, rule of law, and respect for human rights. And just to specifically comment on the situation for refugees in Rwanda, in 2018, 12 Congolese refugees were shot dead by Rwandan police when they protested a cut to their food rations and their conditions. And this creates a very real risk of abuse for asylum seekers that are sent and expelled to Rwanda by the UK, whether they're able to speak up about their treatment or conditions. And we also know that the Rwandan government kidnaps Rwandan refugees who are already outside the country as far afield as Australia, Canada, and brings them back to face trial and ill treatment. And just to finish on this point, that the hypocrisy is so stark when we consider the fact that the UK itself grants asylum and refugee status to Rwandans who have fled persecution in Rwanda, whether as journalists or because they oppose the government, including 4 Rwandans just last year. So how can the UK government be saying that Rwanda is a safe country?
Frank, what do you feel comfortable about saying when Rwanda is criticised for not being the safe place for asylum seekers to be resettled?
Well, I would say about safety, regarding safety, I think Rwanda is a safe country regarding safety, mm-hmm. Because we do not have violence on the street. We do not have cases of people being shot down on the streets, or even we no longer see people stealing cars. such things, really things of the past. And regarding refugees, we Rwandans do not really have a problem with refugees. We interact with them. They can come and work and get paid. And fair pay, even there are some of them work in homes or in bars and restaurants and elsewhere. And some others, they live in camps, but of course they interact with communities around them. So that is, according to that, that is okay. But of course, while she has stayed, we have had a case in that refugee camp when refugees tried to demonstrate, and then they faced it rough, as she mentioned. That and happened
they were shot. They were shot by police. That was a few years ago. I am wondering, because from Rwanda's perspective, there's a certain amount of money that has been quoted, but there is much more money involved in this deal, not just flying the asylum seekers to Rwanda. This is a one-way flight, literally. Not just putting them up, not just feeding them, but the programs, the education programs. There's a lot of money involved in this. Can you see this as a benefit for Rwanda, Frank? Do you see that? Is this potentially something that could be quite positive?
Regarding the money that is being given by the UK, I don't see any value in that money because, as I say, that those refugees should not have come to Rwanda in the first place because they never chose to come to Rwanda. So I think the UK should have taken its responsibility. So the money they are saying that they are coming to pay for their housing or accommodation or education or other facilities, I think this is just a smokescreen because this agreement is just for 5 years. So, but these people, the agreement we saw is called migrants. That means the people are coming to be resettled here. Actually, what we saw, they never even mentioned refugees. They just mentioned migrants. It means that people are coming to be put here, to stay here for good, and they are giving the money to the government for 5 years. That's what we have seen, £120 million for 5 years. So what happens after that? And, you know, we have problem of unemployment already in Rwanda. Most of our youth, they are unemployed. Most of the women I see are unemployed, and they're all able working people. They want to work. They wake up every morning trying to find work, and they can't find it. So, and these young people are going to be in Rwanda. What happens when that money is not there? How will they manage? What will they do? I think it will cause conflicts in the society. There will be issues. And even if you have some money giving them and they are living a better life than others, you see, there's a difference here in Rwanda than the UK, that we don't have these small jobs where people do in UK and they get good money. So we are all trying to survive, and the government has had a good plan of creating jobs every year, but these jobs are not yet there. It's a good plan, but we are not seeing them, the jobs. So we are struggling, and we have to remember another thing. There's a high cost of living in Rwanda. Some people compare it to Europe. because you find that you have $100, but if you go to the market, you don't get anything big out of that money compared to other countries, neighboring countries like Uganda, whereby if you have $100, you can have bigger purchasing power. And then also currently, we do have high prices, and the food prices are very high. Of course, this has been exploited by the Ukrainian and Russian conflict. But even before that, we had high prices of food.
Frank, none of this was mentioned by Priti Patel or by the Rwandan government who were talking about this. You may absolutely. Emily, if I may, can I just bring in one more example and I'm coming straight back to you? This one comes from Natalie because, Frank, thank you. You've just laid out some of the biggest challenges for this migration policy, if it could actually work in Rwanda. So Natalie brings up another example of this idea of processing asylum seekers outside of the country where the asylum seekers are trying to get to. Australia is one example. Natalie picks up my thought from here. This is what she told us a little bit earlier. Emily, come off the back of Natalie. Here we go.
In Australia's offshore detention centres, asylum seekers were housed in poor quality accommodation and struggled to access basic medical care. There were long delays in asylum processing and resettlement, meaning that many were trapped offshore for years. In 2016, over 80% of people in offshore detention were suffering a serious mental illness, and 12 people have died in Australia's offshore detention centres. Ultimately, Australia's offshore detention amounted to cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment in violation of international law. Now, the UK appears poised to follow in Australia's footsteps, but there are real concerns that the UK is pursuing a policy that will violate, rather than protect, the human rights of asylum seekers.
Yeah, so it is well documented that Australia's offshore detention regime on Manus Island in Papua New Guinea and Nauru caused immeasurable human suffering and led to very severe human rights abuses. Human Rights Watch has documented widespread sexual violence against women that were detained in these centres, and men, women and children experienced medical neglect, abuse, and there was also an epidemic of self-harm and a number of suicides, which, as Natalie mentioned, 13 people died since the policy was instituted in 2013. So it is incredibly alarming that the UK is choosing to follow this path and to have followed in Australia's footsteps in a model that has been ineffective in breaking the people smuggling trade to Australia, and at the end of the day does nothing but cause more human suffering. Mm. And just to comment on the back of what Dr. Frank was saying, I think it's really important in this context to separate out development aid and migration control. So I think that countries like the UK can be giving development aid, foreign aid, and investing in countries such as Rwanda. But this shouldn't be tied for us to, you know, wash our hands of asylum seekers and incentivize countries like Rwanda to take on our asylum responsibilities for us. It is simply us externalizing our asylum responsibilities. And at the end of the day, regardless of the financial benefits, it is very likely to be a breach of the UK's obligations and will cause much more harm than good.
So we don't know that, but on the UK Home Office blog, the UK Home Office is saying in the next few weeks we want to send out notices to asylum seekers who are currently in the UK. In the next few months, the first flights will take place going to Rwanda, but we do not know at this stage what legal challenges they may well be. This is UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson explaining what the potential could be for this policy. Have a listen, have a look.
If they go that way, if they come across the channel illegally in these vessels, then they risk, as I've explained, ending up not in the UK, but in Rwanda. And that is something that I believe will, over time, prove a very considerable deterrent.
So Rwanda is being seen by UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson as a deterrent. John Feetonby spoke to us a little bit earlier. He was like, we shouldn't be thinking about flying asylum seekers across the world to Rwanda. We should be thinking of different ways to make sure they have safe passage. This is what he told us earlier.
At the British Red Cross, we're profoundly concerned by the UK government's plans to send people seeking asylum halfway around the world to Rwanda to have their asylum claims processed there. We don't think this will deter people from putting their lives at risk crossing the English Channel. Instead, the government should be focusing on creating more safe routes for refugees to be able to reach here without taking those dangerous journeys. They should increase the number of refugees who are directly resettled to the UK, as well as introducing humanitarian visas so that people can go to an embassy around the world and submit their asylum claim there rather than having to be in the UK already.
Moya, we're right at the very end of the show, but if you could describe in one sentence the atmosphere in the UK where this policy is a policy that is being discussed and trying to be pushed forward, how would you describe it in a closing sentence?
I don't think I can do it in one sentence, but what I would say is that this is not even about whether the policy is even enactable. This is about changing public opinion in the minds of the government to make it as less tolerable and less compassionate, full stop. They want to change the dial so that what we consider ethical is no longer what we might have once done. And they want to make it so that we don't have compassion for other human beings. And that is the real issue here. And we must resist that at any cost.
Moya, thank you. Frank, many thanks. Emily, thank you. Thanks for your comments, your questions, the discussion online as well. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.